So are we set over here?
Good morning. Welcome to the California Coastal Commission meeting for September 15th. Could we have the clerk please call the roll?
Commissioner Reese.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Secord.
Present.
Commissioner Kruer.
Here.
Commissioner Mercurimi.
Present.
Commissioner Sanchez.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Stone.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chair Neely.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, and I'd just
sorry,
like to
Commissioner
welcome.
Kruer.
Oh, pardon me? All right. I just wanted to welcome everyone from the commission staff to Humboldt County and Eureka. We're really thrilled to have you all here today. We hope you have a great stay and can enjoy our wonderful coastline and our environment and shop a little bit in the stores. So thank you for being here. And then let's ask staff to go over the changes in the agenda, and then we're going to take the public comment.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and commissioners. This morning, on the changes to the agenda, there's only two, but I have a change to the change. The first one on page 6 is item 21A, not 12A, and that's the Borston application in Malibu, and that's recommended move to consent. So item 21A on page 6. And then on page 8, item 30A, Evanson in Newport Beach, has been postponed. 30A, the Evanson application in Newport Beach. And for those members of the public who are here today to speak to the commission, you do need to fill out a speaker slip and indicate which item you are speaking to and whether you are in support or opposition to the staff recommendation. Also, if you have a cell phone or other electronic device that might interrupt the meeting, if you could turn that off, that would be appreciated. And the two other things I wanted to briefly mention, we will need a closed session today, and depending on the timing, I could either do that immediately before the lunch break or following lunch break. And then after lunch, we will be taking a field trip, and Bob Merrill here is going to give you just some logistics real quick.
Welcome, commissioners, and I know it's been particularly challenging getting here this time with the fog and the airport construction activities going on, so appreciate your perseverance in making it up here. Just a couple logistical notes. You know, we will be starting the field trip after lunch, depending on the timing of the rest of the agenda, as Charles mentioned. We will be going to three different sites. There won't be any walking of any significance involved. There will be one stop where we will be on the top of Humboldt Hill, where we'll be standing out in a grassy field where it may be a little bit damp, so you may want to have shoes that are appropriate and or bring a sweater or jacket. And since we, because of the budget issues, we don't have a bus, we are going to have to use vehicles. Staff has our one Jeep, but if those commissioners that do have a vehicle, if you're able to bring other commissioners with you, that would be most appreciated. And for the public is certainly invited, but again, since there is no bus, you'll need to bring your own transportation. And I just would remind people that the purpose of the field trip is for fact-finding and checking, looking at the sites and understanding the lay of the land, but it's not a hearing, and there's no public testimony that will be taken. So with that, I'll turn it back to Charles. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yeah, I just had a question, Bob. Could you just, you said we're going to three places. What sites are we going to see?
Yes. The first is the balloon track or the Marina Center, which is actually right across the street. And that's the subject of a major LCP amendment that may be coming to the commission maybe next spring. Also, we'll be going to Humboldt Hill, which is an area a couple miles south of Eureka, where there's another pending LCP amendment involving a road that's extending through an agricultural area. And then the last site will be the town of Samoa, which is the subject of an LCP amendment that'll be on the agenda for next month, which involves redesignating and rezoning the entire town area.
I just wanted to thank you for putting this together. I mean, it's so difficult for the commission, given our budget constraints and our time constraints, to actually do site visits. And it's, I think all of us agree that to actually be able to go on site makes a huge difference when something does come before us, and particularly since our chair is the only one who's really familiar with this area up here. It's very important for the rest of us. So for those three sites, I'm glad that we are going to be able to go on site and see them.
Well, I appreciate that, and we're very happy that you're able to do the tour. It's very helpful for the whole process. Thank you.
Go ahead. Anything else from staff, or are we ready for public comment?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We have three public comment speakers this morning so far, and the first is from the City of Eureka, Planning Commissioner Ron Cunell. And you'll have 3 minutes.
And I just wanted to come here this morning and thank you for coming here today. We at the City of Eureka Planning Commission consider you, frankly, partners in the land use planning that we do, and we greatly appreciate all you do. And so, again, nothing more to say except to welcome you here and thank you. And say again, we really appreciate all you do and consider you strong partners in what we do in our land use planning. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Fran Gibson.
Did you say the sound people? Thank you, Honorable Commissioners. Good morning. I'm speaking today, and Maggie Herbelin
Could
will
you
follow.
Hold for just a second?
Yes.
Are we on sound-wise, or are we all right? We are. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm speaking on behalf of the Save Hobo Elisa Task Force, Sierra Club, and I will be speaking for Penny Aaliyah. Once more, I need to address ongoing challenges in Laguna Beach with respect to the city's concerted effort to circumvent the Coastal Act yet again. The slides running here were shown to this commission following an unpermitted fuel mod at Hobo Elisa Ridge in October-November of 07. Hobo Elisa Ridge is an area of deferred certification under your jurisdiction, so any fuel mod efforts require a CDP. Instead of complying with the Coastal Act and making proper CDP application to conduct the 07 massive fuel mod, the city manager hired Steve Kaufman to assist him and the landowner in outwitting the Coastal Act. His weapon of choice, then, an emergency nuisance abatement order introduced to him by the landowner, the Athens Group. If you fast forward today, the city manager has again issued another emergency nuisance abatement order for fuel mod, insisting he has no intention of complying with our Coastal Act. Please take careful note of all the kindling left behind in the slides in 07 that's still on the ground today, yet the city manager feels another denuding session is in order. Not only is this fuel leave behind not compliant with fire department guidelines, it markedly inhibits the growth of previously destroyed Esha to recover and flourish, thereby promoting more habitat fragmentation and species loss. This same city manager refuses to update the city's antiquated, poorly planned, and managed fuel mod program. At the Coastal Commission hearing April 08, where this long-awaited, much-anticipated LCP amendment was to be heard, the city manager withdrew the amendment minutes before the agenda item was to be heard, knowing full well there were members of the public who had traveled from Orange County to Santa Barbara to testify. We need this commission's help at Hobo Elisa Ridge. The fuel mod program in Laguna Beach and specifically at Hobo Elisa Ridge is out of control. If the city manager is going to proceed with another destructive fuel mod, we plead with this commission to provide enforcement staffing at the site. This is the only thing that saved the endangered coastal resources during the last fuel mod, and even with that effort, we still suffered habitat and species casualties. It's imperative that we have staff oversight not only to protect Esha and endangered species, but all the young restoration sites struggling today. Inadequate monitoring and a lack of management already have resulted in the loss of some of our planted restoration sites. Our task force has waited 6 years for the Athens Group to consent to lawful restoration of the land they have directly harmed. Question for you, why is this landowner under commission consent restoration order for a small portion of this land and concurrently negotiating a larger consent restoration order being allowed by the city to forego a CDP for fuel mod? Why would a city manager utilize police powers to allow the owner to skip fair public scrutiny provided by a CDP? If the fuel mod must go down in this manner, please intercede and provide us with boots on the ground for the monitoring and the oversight of these treasured coastal resources. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Maggie Herbelin. Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Kruer.
Just briefly, I think that we really should look into this. This is disturbing, the way the city of Laguna Beach is trying to address this, and it just seems that there's a whole network of these actions, et cetera, and in this one, it's very troubling to hear this from Ms. Gibson and this continual use of police powers, et cetera, in trying to move this project forward when it should be following the Coastal Act. I really think we should look into this. It's serious, serious thing.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Kruer, Sherrilyn Saab indicated that we knew about this morning to me, and that as far as she understands, they will be applying for a permit for this particular proposal. That's our latest understanding, but we will definitely follow up on it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Maggie Herbelin?
Yes. I'm Maggie Herbelin, speaking for Terry Sell with the Sierra Club of the Save Hobo Elisa Task Force. She says, as a property owner on Driftwood Drive in Laguna Beach, I have once again been notified of an emergency nuisance abatement order for fuel modification behind my home at Hobo Elisa Ridge. This man-made emergency has been created by unpermitted development in an environmentally sensitive area, removal of major vegetation, proposed residential development, and associated unpermitted fuel mod activities, and subsequent invasion of non-native vegetation. I have personally experienced these events over the last 20 years and expressed my concerns to the Commission and to the City of Laguna Beach. The continuing cycle of resource damage and lack of restoration creates the potential for fire and flood. The situation on Hobo Elisa Ridge is not an unforeseen combination of circumstances that calls for emergency action. The situation is predictable and should be resolved once and for all by a sustainable restoration plan, not by emergency orders that continue the cycle of damage. The City of Laguna Beach has recently launched a public education campaign to assist those located within the fire hazard zones in understanding their potential threats from a wild land fire. The first component, Get Ready, is described as the cornerstone in creating a defensible home. If all of the homes in our area created a defensible space, the need for massive fuel mod in this rare and valuable area might be avoided. Hobo Elisa Ridge is protected under the Coastal Act. It is an area of deferred certification. It needs your protection now. The emergency abatement order will only cause continued resource damage until a closely monitored restoration program, including appropriate mitigation and monitoring, is undertaken. The Commission has stopped sandbags from being randomly put in this property in the winter. Can a similar conservation approach be taken to get us through this fire season? Sustainable, well-planned restoration is the ultimate long-term solution. Please stop the continuing resource damage at Hobo Elisa Ridge. Thank you.
Commissioner Wan?
Yes. It's up higher. Right here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I understand we're looking into this particular fire clearance issue, but this whole thing has been going on for a long time, and it's pretty complex in terms of we've got the one cease and desist consent order, we have some other pending violations, and we have some development issues. It seems to me that this is all sort of wrapped up together, and we need to be very careful in how we approach some of these, even the upcoming presumed new consent decree order that Ms. Gibson mentioned, to make sure that we're not doing something in that we need to look at the overall situation, the relationship between this and Laguna Terrace and a whole host of other issues, and make sure that we handle this properly, because it's a pretty complex situation. I mean, the fire issue, I think, is simpler, actually. They need a CDP. But the whole issue here is very complex and somewhat disturbing.
Okay, yep. Thank you. Marcia Hanscom?
Good morning, Commissioners. Marcia Hanscom with the Wetlands Defense Fund. I have a combined short, just over 3-minute video. David Weinsoff and I would like our time to go to. And while it's coming up, I just should say that this is an item that is going to be on next month's agenda. It was postponed for a couple of months, and there are a lot of growing concerns about this topic, so I hope you'll pay close attention.
I'm sorry, you're shooting up the board. Is there anybody else for public comment?
David Weinsoff, I think, is the only other. But they're together, and it's on the same issue. Was there anyone else in the audience that wished to give a public comment at this time while we're waiting for the technical difficulty to be overcome? No? Okay, we'll just hold for a minute.
Pass it to you, Dan.
We can take public comment again before lunch if you want to wait till then.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Sorry for the inconvenience. All right, that's the end. Or David Weinsoff, are you going to wait until after lunch as well?
No, Madam Chair. I'm just combining Marcia's time with
mine. Oh, I see. All right. Okay, thank you. Then we'll go back to the regular agenda, staff.
Thank you. That brings us to the South Coast District Consent Calendar, item number 4. And there's one item that was placed on the consent calendar, 4A, the Rothman application. And we are in agreement with the applicant on the conditions that are proposed in that case.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
So item 5 is the Energy, Ocean Resources, and Water Quality Report, and you should have received a copy of an immaterial amendment that is being reported. This is an amendment to a prior permit issued for the operation of a desalination test well at Doheny State Beach in Orange County, and we're not aware of any objections to this immaterial amendment.
Okay. Any objections to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And item 6A is an administrative permit for Energy and Ocean Resources, and there was a noticing glitch in this. It was indicated on the report that it would be reported tomorrow, so I would like to open the hearing today, if we could, and allow anyone who may be here to testify today, but then report it again tomorrow, just to address the noticing question.
We'll open the public hearing on item 6A and note that we have no speaker slips.
And again, this is just an administrative permit, a follow-up to a spill response in the Los Cerritos wetland area and the removal of some pipelines from that wetland area and installation of a new alternative pipeline outside of the wetlands. So,
and then we'll bring this up tomorrow and take care of it then? All right, thank you.
So that brings us to item 7, the North Central Coast District, and the Deputy Director's report. I do have one immaterial amendment to report for the Sea Drift Association, and I'm not aware of any opposition to that immaterial amendment.
All right. Any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
There is no consent calendar for the North Central Coast District this month, so item 9A is a certification review for the County of San Mateo County LCP Amendment Major 1-04-A, the Mid-Coast Design Standards, and the Executive Director has determined that the action taken by the county is legally adequate and that the amendment should be certified, and we recommend that the Commission concur with this determination.
All right. Any ex parte communications on this item? Seeing none, any objection to concurrence? And seeing none, the commission concurs.
And similarly, item 9B is a certification review for County of San Mateo LCP Amendment Major 1-09 concerning wireless facilities. And again, we've determined that the action taken by the county is legally adequate and recommend that you concur with this determination of the Executive Director.
Any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
So that brings us to item 10A, which is a new appeal, and there is a PowerPoint presentation for this. So item 10A is a new appeal in the County of Marin, and it concerns the Tony McGee and Dylan Vision application on Tamales Bay near Marshall in Marin County. And overall, staff is recommending no substantial issue is raised by the appeal, so we do need to have a hearing on the matter. If you could go to the next slide, please. This is the project location. It's, as I mentioned, on Tamales Bay in Marin County. And it's about 150 acres fronting the shoreline and in agricultural zoning or agricultural lands. Next slide, please. This is a Coastal Records site photo of the project site or most of the project site, or some of it. You can see the main location where most of the primary development would be located, where the arrow is indicating. Just to the left of that is a fence line. That's a fence line for the adjacent property where you see an existing single-family residence. And that's the appellant's property to the left. To the right of the photo, you see a large riparian corridor and sensitive area. And then there's more of the property above that area and also to the right off the screen. And Highway 1 is in the foreground there along the shoreline. Next slide, please. So this is a site plan of the proposed development that was approved by the County of Marin. And it includes a number of structures and activities. Overall, the county approved a coastal permit for the establishment of an agricultural operation. And that includes livestock production, in this case sheep, would be grazed on the parcel on about 50 acres of the land. It includes hop cultivation on 6 acres of land and production of crops for sale at a local farmer's market on about 2.3 acres of land and a 6-acre vineyard for brandy production. So those are the agricultural uses that are anticipated under the plan. That also includes 3 barns that are located throughout the site, and then also a single-family residence of 3,165 square feet with an attached garage, as well as a shed adjacent to an equipment barn and 2 open-sided sheep shelters located on the lower part. From this slide, you can see them on the lower part of the site, midway, about one-third and two-thirds there at the bottom of the property. It also includes a greenhouse, 5 water tanks, a septic system, a new water well, and an 850-foot-long driveway, which would be constructed off of Highway 1. Up to the upper left there, you can see the main cluster of development. That cluster there is where the brandy barn facility and the equipment storage structure and the single-family residence are located. So that primary development is all clustered down in that corner of the site adjacent to the highway. In the center of the site there, you can see the riparian areas that have been mapped, and the dotted line around that area is indicating the 100-foot buffer that's required by the LCP, and no development was approved within those sensitive areas and the buffer. Significantly, this project also includes an affirmative agricultural conservation easement and various restrictions. The terms of the easement include the imposition of a perpetual obligation for the active conduct of agricultural production within this agricultural area. It also establishes a process whereby an outside agricultural operator could lease the project, the property at reasonable rates in the event that the owner of the property was not able to do that or unwilling to continue active production on the property. It also includes various permitted and prohibited uses and practices which the property owner would be bound to. For example, all of the sensitive areas are fenced to keep livestock out of the wetlands and riparian areas. And it would also extinguish any other residual residential development potential on the property. And, of course, that would include no future subdivision, which is an issue we've been discussing in recent months. So as approved by the county, the project is envisioned as an agricultural facility, and it has an agricultural plan attached to it, and the structural development has primarily been clustered down in that corner of the property, although there are a couple other structures on the other side of the riparian area for the sheep. In terms of the issues that have been raised, there are essentially six contentions that have been raised by the appellants. The first contention concerns protection of streams and wetlands under the LCP. As I mentioned, there is a required 100-foot buffer for wetlands and riparian areas in Marin County, and this project has avoided those areas and also not approved any development within the buffer, required buffer areas. And so with respect to that contention, we are recommending that no substantial issue is raised with respect to that. There's also a question about the fencing and livestock impacts on the sensitive areas. And again, the sensitive areas would be fenced to not allow the sheep to be able to get access to these areas. But the fencing would provide, it's 4 feet high and would allow for other wildlife to pass through, both through the wire mesh, and also if deer, for example, would be able to handle these 4 foot high fences. So in terms of the impacts from livestock, we don't think they're a substantial issue. In addition, in terms of water quality issues, the county conditioned the permit to require State Water Resources Control Board approval for any wastewater disposal plans related to the brandy production component of this project. The second issue that was raised concerns road access and capacity, and I mentioned the brandy barn facility. There is a proposal to allow limited visitation from the public to this facility. There would be no alcohol consumption allowed on the property, but there would be up to, as approved by the county, three visits a week. Only between the hours of 11 and 3, and those visits would be limited to a maximum tour of 8 adults. So you could have up to 24 individuals in a week visiting this site. That formed the basis for a traffic analysis on the project, and the conclusions of the county would there would be an insignificant amount of traffic addition on this stretch of Highway 1. And based on that analysis, we are recommending that there is no substantial issue raised by the road access and capacity question. The third appeal contention concerns visual resources. If you could go to the next slide, please. The appellant has raised specific concerns with the impacts of the equipment barn on views, but not necessarily the rest of the project. But these are slides from the county record. It's a little hard to see here. I don't have the right up here. I don't know if you can make it out, but there's some orange netting, and that's a single-family residence that is proposed to be built. So there will be structures in the view shed, but this is the area of clustering. Next slide. Again, there, it's hard to make out, but there's some netting over here, and then there's one of the sheep shelters, barn structures in the foreground here. Next slide. And then here's a longer view. You can see the existing residence on the adjacent property, and then the proposed residence would be in this area. And so there will be structures that are visible from public viewing areas. There's screening proposed, and there's other mitigations in the record, in the county approval, such as painting, any metal flashing with muted colors and that sort of thing. So given that the development is of an agricultural nature, and a lot of it is in support of the agricultural operation, and then the clustering of the development in that corner, the fact that some of the most important views, such as more distant views from Tomales Bay and across Tomales Bay, will be very distant views. There's no ridgeline development proposed. We are recommending that that also raises no substantial issue. In terms of the next contention, which is water supply, if you could just go to the next slide, please. This is back to the overall site. And again, in terms of the visual, that area with the arrow is pointing to is where most of that structural development is clustered. So you can see the context where it would be next to the adjacent property. The other next appeal contention concerns water supply and whether there's an adequate water supply for the property. The county analyzed this issue and determined that there are three springs on the property, which two of which would be used for watering the sheep. There's an existing water well, which county health also determined would be adequate both for the agricultural activities proposed and the residential development. But in any case, in order to avoid the need to span the riparian area with the water pipe, another well has been approved and determined to be adequate to support the residents. So we don't think there's a substantial issue raised by the water supply question. The fifth contention concerns a waiver of a master plan requirement in the LCP, and there is generally a requirement that the LCP sets out for projects on agricultural lands to do a master plan in order to address more comprehensively agricultural issues and potential non-agricultural development. In this case, the county waived that provision, but when you look at that, the way they did it, given the context of the proposal and the agricultural easement that's proposed and the various pieces of the agricultural project, in effect, arguably the county did take a master plan approach to this approval, and therefore we don't think the waiver of the master plan requirement in this case raises a substantial issue, although that is an important part of the LCP. But that's a procedural claim in our view, and the outcome of this case we believe meets the intent of the LCP, and that's the underlying basis for the master plan requirement, is to assure that all the agricultural resources are protected adequately when that approval is being done. The final appeal contention analyzed in the staff report concerns CEQA, and although that's not really a basis of appeal under the LCP, we also looked at that and determined that the county's CEQA analysis doesn't raise a significant concern for us in terms of coastal resources and the LCP requirements. Finally, I wanted to mention that there were some subsequent project changes after the county's formal approval, and these have been incorporated into the county's approval by the Community Development Agency. And these consisted of re-siting one of the sheep shelters downslope about 100 feet, also re-siting the greenhouse downslope, planting more vegetation to screen the hop barn, and lowering the equipment barn 3 feet into the ground in order to decrease its total elevation by about 5.5 feet. So those changes were made, I believe, in response to some other concerned members of the public and have since been incorporated into the county's action. That concludes the staff presentation at this point.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me go to the commissioners now, starting on my left, and see if there are any ex parte communications. Commissioner Stone?
Thank you. I met with Grant Wiesman and Margie Kay of ORCA on the 9th of this month at 1 o'clock in my offices. They are asking that the commission find substantial issue because the county's approval was based on a standard agricultural use review. There was very little study of the impacts of this project. They feel that a distillery is more of a light industrial use and should have prompted more extensive review of the impacts on the water resources, placement of the road, et cetera, and even the need for fencing. That was it. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I had a call with Penny Aaliyah representing the Sierra Club. She also urged that the commission find substantial issue. They say the staff report is very vague, and it needs a de novo hearing to get the specifics out and for us to be able to discuss the issues. She talked a little bit about the sensitive habitat on this property. It's right on Tamales Bay. There's a blue line stream. Visual issues, a lot of wetlands. She said no surveys had been done on the flora or fauna, and she believed that this development was far from minor and incidental.
All right. Thank you. I have three ex parte communications. On September 13th, I had a conference call with Tony McGee. He indicated that he concurs with the staff's recommendations, and he went over and presented some background information on the project. On September 14th, I met with Scott Keevil, the appellant, and his wife, and the appellant provided background information regarding the history of the project through the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors, indicated that the LCP requires a master plan, that this should not have been waived by the county, that the county's actions set a bad precedent in the coastal zone, allowing high-intensity use changes on ag lands without local review and management plans, even though those are required in the LCP. And the appellant requests substantial issue be found so full discussion of the issues can take place. And I also had a meeting in my office with Maggie Herbelin on September 13th, and Maggie indicated that the colleagues on ORCA and on behalf of Maya Craig are asking the commission to find substantial issue so the project can be properly subjected to a de novo hearing, and that Marin County approved the project without the master plan or CEQA review, and the project is neither minor nor incidental. Mr. Juan?
Yes, I actually had an ex parte with Fran Gibson on this and submitted it in writing, but since it's I don't see it in what's been handed out, I'll try to remember what the discussion was, although I don't have my notes in front of me. She said that the staff report was very vague on many of the issues, that it didn't give complete information about some very major aspects of this, particularly the ESHA and how the boundaries of the ESHA were determined and where the project was in relationship to the actual ESHA and the setbacks, that there was concern about a zoning issue, that although apparently the appellants are contending that they question whether or not grapes can actually be grown on this, and that if in fact they can't grow the grapes and they have to truck the grapes in, that would not be an agricultural operation. And then she also discussed their concerns about the views and the lack of a lot of information about where the anything but the barn was going to be located, that the only analysis in there was on the barn. And I think there was also something about the fire issue and the concern about fire relative to an alcohol fire, because this is going to be brandy. And that's the best that I can recall.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. Yes, I received an email from Fran Gibson, which was dated September 13th, 8:37 p.m., that I reviewed this morning. The email states that, with my colleagues in ORCA and speaking on behalf of Maya Craig, I am writing to ask you to deny the staff recommendation to find no substantial issue on the McGee-Dillon vision matter. The staff report is vague and confusing, with no clear idea of buffers, possible ESHA habitats, and visual resource losses as a result of this development. There's no conditions stated for what happens with this ag parcel if grapes should fail on the subject site in the future. The certified Marin County LCP protects rolling grasslands in the coastal zone, and both the shoreline of Tamales Bay and agricultural lands in Unit 2 are rezoned in the LCP from standard to planned districts in order to bring them under master plan and design review standards and to allow design flexibility in these sensitive areas, end quote. This project and the coastal resources of Tamales Bay deserves the full review they will receive under a full de novo hearing. And that's the email. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Blank.
Yes, Madam Chair. I got an email from Lenny Roberts and Mike Ferreira of San Mateo County ORCA, and they said our colleagues in Marin County disagree with no substantial issue and are particularly concerned about the proposed brandy distillery, which is not an agricultural use, but rather as an industrial commercial use. The county waived the need for a master plan for the project, despite LCP requirements for the same.
Okay. And Mr. Secord, do you have your light on? Okay, so that concludes ex parte communications. We'll go ahead and start with the public hearing then, and we have the appellants coming first, Mr. Keevil, and 10 minutes.
Chairperson Neely and commissioners, I'm Scott Kivel. My wife, Leah Lund, and I are the appellants, and we thank you for the opportunity to make a brief presentation. First of all, at some point before you vote, I would appreciate it if you would allow either me or your staff to put an accurate arrow on where the brandy distillery is supposed to be. It's not halfway up the hill. It's down at the bottom of the property next to a Blue Line Creek, 100 feet from Tamales Bay, and so the presentation where the arrow was is simply inaccurate. We are asking that you find that there is a substantial issue, because this project, on a number of grounds, presents issues that have never received a fair independent, impartial review. They've simply been reviewed by the hired consultants and lobbyists of the applicant. The Brandy Distillery, a commercial facility, is placed 100 feet from the Blue Line Creek. If you defer to Marin County, the operational issues associated with the distillery, toxicity, wastewater, how to dispose of the waste, the chemicals, the temperature of the water that would be replaced in the aquifer or in the septic system. If you defer those issues to Marin County when they take this issue up on a conditional use permit, then, you know, we suggest that you are deferring to Marin County when, in fact, it is the Coastal Commission that should be taking a look at how this commercial distillery is potentially going to affect the environmental habitat. The property is 150 acres. It's got a waterfall, a pond, a Blue Line Creek. It's 50 feet across Highway 1 to the state-owned Marconi Cove. It shares a road with our house and three other houses, and also the rear entrance to the state park at Marconi Conference Center. It's visible from across the bay at Point Reyes National Seashore and from the Tomales Bay State Beaches at Heart's Desire and so forth. Indeed, it touches a lot of public resources. The entrance to the property is at the bottom of a blind downhill curve, yet this is where this property is supposed to be turned into a commercial distillery with public tours. Now, the staff report is defective on a number of grounds. First of all, it's vague, it's nonspecific, it's inadequate. It simply repeats the mantra, the county had factual and legal support for its conclusions. The staff report does say that there are aquatic and emergent wetland communities that have been identified, yet it makes no critical analysis of that issue. It doesn't even refer to the 1981 Coastal Commission guidelines on setbacks, which, as I understand it, say that in special circumstances where the environment is going to be impacted, even the 100-foot setback is not sufficient. But yet the staff report is silent on that. The staff report sets no conditions for this development. It doesn't refer to ESHA. And besides these substantive defects, the procedure has been defective. With all due respect to Mr. Simone, I think the timing may have impeded his fair analysis of the project. When we filed our appeal on June 1st, it was initially assigned to Renee Ananda. She had it for 2 months. Then Mr. Simone was brought in around August 1st. And in one short month, he had to tour the property, do his research, and write his report dated September 2nd, which is simply a 10-page report. Unbelievably, the county found that this seven-structure development, two barns, commercial distillery, a house, and so forth, is a minor and incidental project and therefore exempt from the master plan review. Now, the LCP from Marin County says that coastal development should be, are designated to be within the master plan review, yet it was exempted. And one of the rationales, which Mr. Simone simply accepted from the county, is that the applicant had given a agricultural easement. Well, what's left unsaid is that the agricultural easement is required by Marin County for all of the development in the coastal zone. So that should not have been in exchange for an exemption from the master plan requirement. By not adopting the master plan requirement or not insisting on it, there has not been a review of ESHA. There's not been any review of the water issues. Yes, a water well was approved. That water well is on the south side of the property, and the county and Mr. Simone simply accepted the well driller's assertion that water will be found on the north side. But if it's not found on the north side, then there will be a pipe going through the Blue Line Creek from the well on the south side. The appellant would like to paint this as simply a property dispute between two adjacent property owners. I'd like to point out, and Mr. Simone didn't mention this, that there were several people, Environmental Action Committee, East Shore Planning Group, Catherine Caulfield, Bridger Mitchell, who wrote letters and spoke at the Planning Commission. And I'd like to go back to why the staff report is procedurally ineffective. We asked continuously both the Ms. Ananda and Mr. Simone for meetings, and they refused to meet with us. And then we were given the opportunity by Mr. Simone in writing to submit a response to the staff report as long as we had it to the commission by September 8th. We submitted it to the commission September 8th. We found out when we spoke to Mr. Simone on Monday that it had not been yet distributed and would be received by the commissioners yesterday, which of course is your travel day. Now, this is a project where Mr. Simone has said that the road is in the right location, this new 850-foot road. Yet he ignores the fact that the Planning Commission chair asked for what the cut and fill requirements and the cut and fill statistics from the planner, and they were not provided because they had never been done. So this is simply the applicant's assertion of where he wants his road. We have evidence of the character and the arrogance of the applicant. I'd like to read you a couple of emails. First is an email that he wrote August 3rd to Linda Emmy, who's been protesting this project, where he says, you have no personal dignity. He also writes to me on August 11th, quote, your interference in my project and complete lack of respect for my own property rights is sad, but as I've said before, not unforeseen. I'll be paying for the project in the next few weeks. You've worked hard to make my life a little bit more complicated over the last year, and now I will be making a mission of returning the favor. To begin with, I will be raising pigs in an enclosure along the northwestern property line beginning in September. Okay, he has now put pigs on the property line. He's put pigs, a 30 by 120 foot enclosure, right where an underground creek daylights at the property line. And so all the pig waste will now go into Tomales Bay. And I hope that we have the slides to show that. We had pointed out to the county that this was not the right place for his road because of this creek. The county ignored that. We now have a pig enclosure. And then that raises the question, okay, if he puts his pig enclosure where the county has approved this 850-foot new driveway, where is his driveway going to go? He left a voicemail for our attorney on September 5th, quote, hey, Rob, this is Tony McGee. You know, I would just suggest that you pray that we never meet in public. Bye-bye. Point Reyes Light, September 9th, saying, Kivel needs to be humiliated with these pigs, and the Environmental Action Committee, which was on the verge of filing an appeal with this commission until McGee's lawyer talked to him, that the EAC are evil people. To approve this project without having a de novo hearing, a fair and independent review, based on this record and Mr. Simone's inadequate report, I think would set a terrible precedent. And so we're simply asking that you give this project, this commercial brandy distillery, and all of the potential environmental impacts that it might ensue, a fair hearing before your staff and before this commission. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Tony McGee. Mr. McGee, we'll give you 10 minutes as well.
Sure. Thank you very much, commissioners. Thanks for the time. Let me begin with the voicemail that he quoted. That never happened. With respect to the pigs, I did build a pig enclosure there. You know, no pigs on the property at all whatsoever. They require a separate and special permit. I may eventually use that for rooster rescue.
Could you pull the microphone up, sir, so that they can catch it on the record?
We were talking about this earlier. I may eventually put rooster rescue there. You know, the fact of the matter is, he's characterizing things, so I guess this becomes a little bit more relevant. I've spoken to absolutely every community group that exists, including the Sierra Club. I mean, despite a change of sentiment at a different level within the company, the local guy, Gordon, has spoke with him a number of times about this, and he was communicating with Catherine Caulfield and was satisfied when the EAC became satisfied. The EAC, it wasn't our attorney that met with them. There was no legal business. In fact, the person that arranged that meeting with the West Marin EAC was Tom Lye, the deputy planning director of the county. He personally arranged that meeting because he believed in the project, and he felt like the EAC, while I had received earlier approval of it from them, I mean, in fact, some enthusiasm after the appeal from Mr. Kivel to the Board of Supervisors, the EAC kind of did an about face, and all of a sudden they had very strong opinions about it. And I think Tom Lye, the deputy zoning guy, felt that there was a little bit of bad faith there. So he actually arranged a meeting, not with any attorney of mine at all. In fact, I was on vacation in Hawaii listening on a speakerphone, so I wasn't even really present for that. And we did the things that the EAC asked for in that meeting, as I did all along in the entire process starting from the very beginning. I got a lot of input from all kinds of different groups that had very strong feelings about things. West Marin is no stranger to a lot of community input. I lived out there for 22 years, and in that I lived out there for 22 years, I've watched dozens of projects be proposed, and what people do is they walk into a property and the first thing that they do is they go, gosh dear, we should put the house up there. And then they learn about the rules and they learn about all the oversight and all the community groups that have an interest, and they try to back in to the regulation. And what I did instead, professional that was on the property was a biologist, and this is a biologist I found who does a lot of work. She and her brother do all the work for Pebble Beach, and I felt that was meaningful because they have a lot of interaction with this body, and in that they do that, they have that interaction, they have a historical, institutional kind of understanding of what things are important to you, and those things became central to everything we did. The suggestion made that there was no biological study on the property is just not true. We did unilaterally, upfront, without being asked to do so, a full 12-month species observation, so that she was out there five times during the course of the year recording everything that she saw in terms of flora, looking for, you know, and then looking for all the critters that we could possibly find. And the things that are difficult to find, like red-legged frogs, we just said to ourselves, they're there. They're there. Who knows? You know, it doesn't even matter whether or not maybe they are. We said they're there, and we said 100-foot, this is there. We absolutely... That would be the credo in the whole thing, is 100 feet of every resource. And what the result of that was to take 150 acres and take 85 of it and set it aside. I mean, you know, that's a considerable, you know, kind of move, you know, of the land out of our, you know, autonomous use of it. But you don't have autonomous use of anything in the coastal zone, and we knew that from the start. From the very first day that I started reading on the LCP, I knew that we would be standing here, I'd be standing here at this meeting today, and this body was my client from the very beginning. And the reason is, as we started working through the biological resources, trying to understand what was there, how sensitive things are, and on many occasions I argued with my biologist for a less generous kind of appraisal of things, say, no, let's call this what it is. Let's not, like, say, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Let's, you know, I said, let's call things protectable. And in doing to sort of begin to sort out the constraints and the constellation of constraints that come to the property, it became clear to me very quickly that the building envelope would end up right next door to my neighbor. And so on one table I had all of the environmental groups with all the very significant interests and a lot of influence with you, rightfully so. What they're defending is the most defenseless things that there are, the plants and the critters that have no voice in this meeting except through your oversight. And on the other side, I had my neighbor, who I was confident from the beginning would foster some sort of an appeal. And so everything we did was, from the very beginning, was in light of this completely, you know, foreseeable event. I called his lawyer up when they filed their first appeal from the Planning Commission to the Board of Supervisors, and which at the Planning Commission level we received a unanimous approval, as we did at the Board of Supervisors later. And I said, you know, you know, tried to get an idea of what the client wanted. And basically what I was told in so many words was, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. You can move the barn and you can move the road away from my neighbor's pool, future pool, which isn't visible on there. Or, you know, we'll go to the Coastal Commission. I was like, well, bring it on. I mean, because I'm going to do this right. And I'm not, what they really wanted me to do is to move all of this development down closer yet. Move the road down closer to the, so it would parallel the stream conservation area. They wanted the barn moved down so it was further down the hill, so whatever animals were in the barn would be right on that SCA area. And I just said to myself, I'd rather take on the neighbor than I would take on every sort of, you know, righteous, you know, community group that had strong feelings and would not be shy about expressing them. So, having said that, I'm not even talking about the things that I'm talking about, but I felt like I kind of needed to answer that to begin with. There are no pigs there, and there are not going to be any pigs there. But as this, what I see as a selfish, you know, endeavor, and essentially sort of a waste of the precious time of the Coastal Commission and the staffers who are, you know, they're understaffed, as you all know, it's a bad faith thing. There are good faith arguments in the world, but this is really about a neighbor not wanting to have it there. And this began costing me money right away. And I'm not like a high net worth individual. I have a business that's generating some cash in this wonderfully kind of down economy. And I committed it to it because I started knowing that if I left any gaps in the armor, that a sword would be driven through it. And so we answered every question. We did traffic studies. I had the biologist there for the 12 months rather than a single observation. I mean, we just went every, you know, the entire application is probably close to 1,000 pages. If Larry Simone were here, he'd tell you that he was drowning in information. There's no shortage of exploration of all of the issues that are said to have been dealt with in a cursory manner. So, I did all that work, and I knew that we'd end up here. And so everything I did was in light of the eventual moment of being here. With regard to the fire concerns, you know, ethanol is flammable. With the idea about the thing being industrial, it's no more, truly no more industrial. I mean, I own a brewery, and we had a distilled spirits plant there for quite a while. So I know how distillation works. This isn't like a new endeavor for me. It's no more industrial than making cheese. It's no more industrial than washing, you know, oysters for 2 weeks in fresh water until they get the right flavor. It's no more industrial than a creamery. It's no more industrial than making sausage, all of which is very classic West Marin agricultural uses. And if you go to Europe, you'll find that most wineries, you know, maybe some of you have been there, a lot of them anyway, will have distilleries right on the premises, and they'll make small batch brandies out of the leftover wine. This is a value-added thing. The idea of whether or not grapes grow, it's a red herring. I have there's a viticulturist that we've hired that says that this is classic Columbia River Gorge climate. There is salt there. Salt is something we're going to have to find ways to manage and understand and to divert that. But if they didn't grow, I'm going to put the building up because the building will be my processing facility for whatever I grow up there. And I view the whole thing more as a furrow to package operation, so that as someone running an agricultural enterprise, I have access to the highest value added finished product. I said this to the East Shore Planning Group. You know, it's sort of like what I do with it is less important than what the principle of it is. And it's almost like complaining that I shouldn't paint the kitchen green. Because if grapes didn't grow up there, it's 3 years before you get your first usable grapes. Well, you know, I'm not going to buy a still on the first day and do all the plumbing and put those elements in there. I'm going to wait till see that I have fruit on the vine that's usable. And then when I know it's usable, then I begin and I put those elements in place. If grapes just won't grow, and despite best efforts, they can't grow, we'll grow strawberries and I'll make marmalade down there. I mean, you know, it's really almost no different, you know. With respect to fire and the proximity of the whole thing, as I see my time running out here, I've spoke to Scott Albers, who is the Marin County Fire Chief. We're going to be working with him absolutely right to the end, and it's all attached to the building permits. Having had my own distilled spirits license before, I know what the requirements are, and secondary containment is a big deal. The building itself will be its own secondary containment vessel. The foundation itself will be sealed in epoxy and come up 3 feet on each wall, 4 feet if that's what the volume required is. The fire foam and all the rest of these things, that will be my responsibility to provide, not the fire department's, you know, obligation to find a way to answer to. So I think that's about the end of my time, but you know, I was diligent in this whole thing. I hope that's reflected in the full application.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. Fran Gibson, you'll have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'm speaking on behalf of Linda Emmy, who has local standing on this matter, and I've submitted a letter to your chief counsel stating that I can speak for her. Linda asks you to vote no on the staff motion and reports that the staff report is vague, confusing, and inadequate. There's no visual analysis showing how this project will affect the view shed from Highway 1, which is highly traveled by people visiting the coast, the bay, and the surrounding public areas. If there were a visual analysis, we would see that the owner has planted a double row of cypress trees along the entire length of his property on Highway 1. They're growing quite quickly and before long will entirely block the public's view of this beautiful valley from travelers along the highway. The site plan allows groups of trees with open space in between, but what has been planted is a solid wall of trees, and the county and staff report allows it, even though the Marin County LCP states, quote, the primary concern of the Coastal Act is to protect views to scenic resources from public roads and to protect the open rolling grasslands east of the bay, end of quote. Furthermore, quote, both the shorelines of Tomales Bay and the agricultural lands in Unit 2 are rezoned in the LCP from standard to plan districts in order to bring them under master plan and design review standards. This project with the brandy barn and the distillery is only agricultural if grapes do grow on the site. If grapes do not grow on this commercial site, then the brandy barn and distillery become an industrial use with no conditions to limit grapes or wine from being trucked in from off-site. If the owner sold out to Seagram's or some other conglomerate, what would happen? There would be no conditions to limit the size of the distillery or the amount of the grapes being shipped in. The owner has gotten approval from the fire marshal for access, addressing defensible space and fire protection water supply for the brandy barn building structure. He has not as yet received it for the distillery to be located inside. An ethyl alcohol fire has a low flash point, is highly combustible liquid, and requires special foam that's actually damaging to the environment, and large amounts of water for suppression and fire safety. This subject site is 20 minutes response from two of our area fire departments. The new pig pen is located in the middle of a wintertime stream, which drains into the private road drainage ditch, which drains into a catchment basin, which drains down the hill, directly into the bay, just a few feet away where there are commercial, mussel, and oyster beds attached to the floats. Pig excrement contains dangerous bacteria and will contaminate the waters of the Gulf of the Farallones National Marine Sanctuary, which Tomales Bay is now a part of. These mussel and oyster beds are located directly off the Blue Line Stream going through the subject property and will be affected by any action. I ask you to vote no on the staff recommendation, find substantial issue, and let's go forward to a full de novo hero. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. And that's the end of our speakers, so we'll take it back to staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of points. One is substantial. This is a substantial issue hearing, so it's a threshold inquiry for the commission. Your staff did not do a de novo review of many of the issues that have been raised, but rather we analyzed the specific contentions in the appeal, which are discussed in the staff report, the six issues I went through in the initial presentation, to ask whether those questions raised a substantial issue. And the staff report is specific on those questions, and including the riparian wetland issues, the traffic issues, the visual issues. And so it's a question of is there a substantial issue? And that's the question for the commission. It's a threshold inquiry. With respect to just on the wetland and riparian issues that are raised, as I said initially, no development was approved in riparian areas or wetland areas, and and also the 100-foot buffer that's required by the LCP. So our understanding of what the county approved is that there is no development allowed in those sensitive areas or the 100-foot buffer around those areas. And then finally, with respect to the agricultural issues, again, the main contention raised concerned the waiver of the master plan requirement. No agricultural issues were raised directly in separate contentions, but that contention was raised as a concern about whether the agricultural requirements of the LCP were being met here. We looked at that waiver as a procedural discretional decision of the discretionary decision of the county planning director. And if you look at the outcome here, we feel that in the context of the affirmative agricultural easement that's imposed, the nature of the proposed agriculture for the property, and the clustering of the development down in the lower left corner as you were looking at that site plan. And that arrow on the photo is approximate. That's the general area of the site plan. It's not intended to be a specific location of a building. But in that context, the waiver of that master plan requirement was effectively met through the decision, the overall decision of the county. So that's why we are recommending that no substantial issue is raised by that waiver. You know, recognizing that that master plan requirement is a very important part of the LCP, and we would look very carefully at that in any application as to whether the intent of the agricultural protection policies were being met here. So I will stop there, and maybe if there are questions, I could address those more specifically.
All right. Thank you, staff. And we have four commissioners signed up to speak, and the first is Commissioner Wan.
Yes. To begin with, I didn't realize that Marin County had this requirement for an affirmative ag easement. And before I say anything else, I'd like to congratulate Marin County for doing that. That's not particular to this project, which I had originally thought was the case. But I'm glad to hear that. I do have a lot of questions. Okay. We were asked by the appellant right off the bat if you could show us specifically where this distillery was located, because he indicated that the distillery part was located only 100 feet from a stream. Is that true? Do you know if that's true or not?
If you could bring up the site plan slide. I don't know exactly. So it's up in the upper left corner there. I believe it's the lowest structure here.
Okay, so
the bay is here, Highway 1 is here, and I don't know the measurement on that distance. I assume it's 100 feet or more from the bay as required by the LCP.
Okay, so but it is down in that area, and yeah, it's quite close to the bay.
Yeah, this is the main development cluster, the Brandy facility, the equipment barn, and the residence up here at the top.
Okay, that's a concern of mine, because one of the things, it was very hard in looking at these exhibits to know exactly dimensions, and because it's so compressed in size. I have a couple of other questions. The issue was raised about what happens if they're not successful with the grapes, and I don't know that you can assume that they won't be, but suppose they aren't, and then what happens? And I heard the applicant say that, well, because there's concerns that if that's not the case, they'll have to truck in the grapes if they want to do the distillery operation, and that does change the nature of the operation and of the traffic counts and of everything else. So I heard the applicant say that if that were the case, they wouldn't do that. They would grow some other crop. But are there any conditions in the county permit that require that, or is this just something that the applicant is saying to us? But I need to know what the conditions are in the actual permit for Marin as to what happens if they aren't unable to successfully grow the grapes to allow this to be a truly agricultural operation.
I think overall the agricultural easement requires the property to remain in active agricultural use. And on page 2 of the staff report, there's a summary of that. And basically, not specific to your question yet, but if it doesn't pan out and with the grapes or some other use, they would still nonetheless need to be keeping the project in some kind of production, and I believe the easement ultimately refers to the county being able to step in and make it available for grazing, leasing.
Okay, that's the more general issue.
Right.
But the specifics of the issue of if they don't grow the grapes, my concern has to do with the impact of continuing to run the distillery by having to truck in the grapes. And I didn't see anything on a specific condition to deal with that. You can look for it. In the meantime, let me go on and continue. I am very concerned about some of the issues that are more important to me. That's a kind of a minor one. I am very concerned about the county having waived the requirement for the master plan. What I'm hearing from you is that the LCP requires a master plan. I don't have the language of the LCP in front of me, but when I'm told that, well, the county decided that in this case, it met the intent of the LCP requirements, I find it hard to understand how that could be consistent with what is actually in the LCP, and I'm always worried about precedent, in the sense that if there's a requirement for a master plan review for a project of this nature, and the county can simply say, well, we waive it because we think we've got all the information we need and it's the equivalent thereof, that's saying that there's no real requirement for a master plan any longer. It's up to the discretion of the county as whether they wish to impose a master plan review. And I don't know if you have the language of the actual LCP, but I would bet that the language in the LCP doesn't actually say, and they can waive this requirement on a discretionary basis. And that does concern me for more than just this project, but for other projects as well. So you can see where what one of my concerns is here.
With respect to the LCP language, if you turn to Exhibit 7, beginning on page 2, actually, page 1, there are some of the policies included. Page 2 is subsection 4, the development standards and requirements, and it says all land divisions and developments in the APZ, that's agricultural zone, shall require an approved master plan showing how the development would affect the property, and then there are some specific findings that need to be made, including in the case of agriculture, that the development is necessary because agricultural use of the property is no longer feasible. That mirrors a lot of requirements we have in other LCPs like San Mateo, where you focus on the capacity of the land and whether or not there's a need for non-agricultural development. Then there is a specific provision, and this is on page 4 of that exhibit, where those requirements may be waived by the planning director if certain findings are made. So there is a specific waiver provided for, but they do need to make findings, and in this case they felt the findings could be made, and that's the minor or incidental nature finding that you heard reference to, and also within the intent and objectives of the LCP. So I think our interpretation of what the county did was look at what the purpose of the agricultural policies are and whether or not those were effectively met by this proposal. And in that context, they decided the development was minor or incidental to that larger purpose. That's a discretionary finding.
Yeah. Okay, so now I understand. It's a question of whether you think this is minor or not. If you don't agree that it's minor or incidental, then you don't believe that this should be waived. But I understand more completely now what you're talking about. I got through, and I was going to raise Exhibit 6, but I didn't look in detail at Exhibit 7. I still have concerns about this is, given this amount of development, whether or not this constitutes, and the structures involved here, whether it constitutes minor. And I'm having a hard time believing that this is minor or incidental in nature, particularly when I go to the next two issues, which are views. I mean, We don't have a good photographic analysis or view analysis, but if you put all of those structures on that hill, I don't see how there aren't major view impacts. The only view issue that was analyzed at all was the one barn in the staff report. But if after looking at those, the photos on the slides, the photos in the staff report I couldn't figure out because they were too blurry. But after looking at those slides and where that's located, I'm not sure how I understand how there aren't any view impacts. It seems to me that they're pretty major. Now, could those view impacts be mitigated or softened in some way? I don't know, and I think that that probably is a basis for the finding of substantial issue for this commission to take a really good look at where the location of the buildings are. We may wind up with the same number of buildings, but where they are and whether or not you can reduce the visual impacts of that, of the road. I was concerned about just how much cut and fill there is on a road. A road that long is going to have visual impacts. Now, can it be changed? I don't know. But it does concern me, and these are the kinds of things that raise substantial issue. The last area that I'm really concerned about has to do with the habitat issues, as you can suspect. If you go to, leave that up, okay, but I don't have a slide, but if you go to Exhibit 6, page 21 of Exhibit 6, there is a graph that's essentially the same as the, if you could leave up the slide that was up there. Okay. Great, thank you. It's essentially that same view and almost the same size. And it's about the plant communities, and it shows the emergent wetlands and seeps areas, and it shows vegetation. And I'm looking at that in relationship to this, and it appears to me, again, they don't have dimensions on it, and they're kind of vague, but it looks to me like some of the areas where there's habitat and vegetation are considerably larger than the areas that are shown there that are delineated with the habitat. And that concerns me. It seems to me that we need to be taking a much more closer look and detailed look at what the actual analysis was of where the habitat is that needs to be protected. And whether or not, therefore, the buffers are adequate and where they are. Because in looking at those two exhibits, I find them a little bit vague, because of the size and the detail, but also because of this discrepancy between the two exhibits. And that really does concern me. And that's a major concern for me in terms of whether or not we should find substantial issue, because I do think that we need to take a look and make certain that the areas that are being protected are being protected, that should be protected, are actually being protected. So on that basis, frankly, at this point, I'm prepared to find substantial issue.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Mercurimi? Okay. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission determine resolve that appeal number A-2-MAR-10-022 does present a substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Coastal Act Section 30603 regarding consistency with a certified local coastal program and or the public access policies of the Coastal Act, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
And I was going to ask counsel if that is the correct way of making that motion. Otherwise, it would be a double negative.
Okay. Yes, the way we typically do it is to state the motion the way it's written, but recommend a no vote.
Okay, I apologize. Let me do this again. I move that the Commission determine resolve that appeal number A-2-MAR-10-022 does not present a substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Coastal Act Section 30603 regarding consistency with a certified local coastal program and or the public access policies of the Coastal Act, and recommend a no vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez and a second by Commissioner Mercurimi. The maker and second are recommending a no vote. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, please. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I am always very hesitant to, when I see a waiver or a recommendation that something has been waived that is a due process requirement, as there is here, master plan. To go through a process is allows for more public input and a hearing, and the intent there is to resolve any issues, outstanding issues. I feel that I'm getting additional information during this hearing. There are some things that are not completely resolved in my mind, even at this hearing as we speak. I see an applicant who basically wants to comply with whatever he sees as are required under CEQA and the Coastal Act. Talking as he spoke, he indicated that he didn't. He just wanted to assume that there were things that he needed to protect, and therefore allowed for the buffer. I think that there was there is, and I appreciate that. There is, however, I think a need for more additional analysis. I don't think just assuming things works here, particularly. I do have some questions about the commercial aspect and how that is consistent and how that's going to work. It does appear to be a change of the character here. I really don't want to address anything having to do with potential neighbor issues. I think that if we could just address what we have before us, which is an applicant who would like to do something on his land, that I hear that is consistent with the Coastal Act, and I think there's just a need for deeper analysis. The issues having to do with the aesthetics, the views, where would be the most appropriate place for the buildings in terms of the views. I don't think we have all of this here before us, and I understand the practical problems with staff. Additional staff time, but I do believe that this is required on this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Mercurimi, would you like to speak as the seconder of the motion?
Thank you, Madam President. Very quickly, I just also want to echo, by the way, I think the compliment to Marin on enacting an ag easement, forward thinking of Marin. Second, I also want to commend staff, I think, for making a good faith effort in this analysis. However, I think there are some unanswered questions, and even more so as it came up within this deliberation, on questions of aesthetic and habitat reconciliation. So for that, I want to second this motion and find substantial issue.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Kruer.
Just briefly, I would support the motion submitted by Commissioner Sanchez and Mr. Ross Manery. And what I would suggest is that my concern was what Commissioner Juan said earlier, was that the amount, just the question of the cut and fill on a driveway that's 850 feet long, there's substantial grading issues that you would have to deal with, and the sensitivity to this would raise issues on view impacts, etc., especially for the amount of grading that you is contemplated here. And I think also when you if this passes and we go to a de novo hearing, you have to look into the viability of the applicant's claims that you can have only 100 cases produce a year, and make sure that that would affect everything else, that it doesn't turn into a commercial operation if it goes over that. I don't know how it's feasible to do that, and those are questions and issues that you probably should look at the time. But it just seems to me the sensitivity of the location and where it's located, et cetera, for a distillery to be put there, I think we need to go to the next step to make sure that it meets all the LCP policies, and I think that's the only way you can do it.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Blank.
Yes, Madam Chair. I heard slightly something different than my fellow commissioners, but that's usually not unusual. But right, it's the voices I still hear. Thank you, Commissioner Mercurimi. That is, I heard an applicant, maybe overly passionate,
attempting to do the right thing for a county that's incredibly sensitive to environmental damage. You know, I just come in with a high bandpass filter that is incredibly skeptical when neighbors are the ones that raise issues. So that said, believing an applicant was trying his best and skepticism about neighbors raising issues, I was inclined initially to give the applicant the benefit of the doubt and find that there was no substantial issue. But to be honest, I heard enough in this hearing from whether they were neighbors or not from the environmental perspective and the potential damage here that it's certainly worth having a de novo hearing on this issue, and I want to in this case, compliment the neighbors and compliment the others who've raised the issue. And also just to point out to the applicant that all this means is I think we just want to take a deep breath, take a look at it, we all need to hear all the all this means, at least to me as a commissioner, I believe the rest of us, is that we just simply need to hear some more information about this application. And that's why I'm going to support the motion on the floor.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yeah, this is actually a tough one for me. I came in to the hearing just from reading the staff report, believing that that probably we should find substantial issue. But this has been an interesting hearing. Let me ask staff. We heard in some of the ex partes that there had been no surveys of the flora and fauna, and I believe we heard from the applicant that there had been. Do you have, as part of the record, biological surveys of the flora and fauna?
I believe we have in the record, not necessarily attached here, those surveys. My understanding is that there were surveys done initially. And what we focused on were the questions directly related to the appeal contention around the riparian and wetland areas.
Right. Well, and that and the surveys to me are important to know whether or not our biologists are confident in the 100-foot buffer that is in this plan.
I don't believe Dr. Dixon or Dr. Engel have reviewed those reports.
Okay. Well, that probably is the deciding issue for me if our biologists haven't been able to look at those reports. I have to say that whether or not grapes grow on this, I think, is a complete red herring. In this land, in this county, and what I know of the soils there, the grapes will grow. And I think that I urge the commission and the staff not to get sidetracked by somebody. It's just a red herring. The second one is obviously the Hatfield and McCoy issue that we have here about the pig pen with no pigs, which, again, I believe we should not get sidetracked by. It's not part of this issue. This is a very close one for me. I think that they have done what we would probably ask, which is cluster the development, and it is 100 foot from the riparian habitat, which is the only buffer that we would be asking for. We wouldn't be asking for more than that. I was concerned about the visual, but when I look at this slide, I don't know how you get any less visual than to be clustered and at the bottom, the lowest elevation, and the closest to the road. So and it's clearly agriculture. I mean, so often when we have these agricultural things, we have a trophy home, and we have agriculture seems to be a window dressing for how people can have their gargantuan estates. If they graze a few cows, they can get away with being agriculture. This really is agriculture. I am clearly torn by this. I think the staff report is not as vague as some people have asserted that it is. I think it's a good staff report. On the other hand, in the face of that, I'm kind of torn between adding a staff workload to something that looks to me as if it's quite sound versus being on the side of caution. So I'd like to ask for a roll call vote.
All right. Any other comments from commissioners? All right, then we'll ask for a roll call vote. The maker and seconder are recommending a no vote, which would result in the finding of a substantial issue and result in a de novo hearing.
Commissioner Reese?
Yes.
Reese, yes. Commissioner Blank?
No.
Blank, no. Commissioner Secord?
No.
Secord, no. Commissioner Kruer?
No.
Kruer, no. Commissioner Mercurimi?
Yes.
Mercurimi, yes. Commissioner no. Sanchez?
No.
No. I apologize. Rescind on no.
No.
Yeah.
Your motion is
no for Mercurimi. Commissioner Sanchez?
No.
Sanchez, no. Commissioner Schellenberger?
No.
Schellenberger, no. Commissioner Stone?
No.
Stone, no. Commissioner Wan?
No.
Wan, no. Chair Neely?
No.
Chair Neely, no. The vote is 1 yes, 9 no.
Okay, so let me ask staff when this can be brought back for hearing, if you have any idea.
Probably not inside 6 months. We have to do the analysis, the de novo review, get into the field, get our biologists involved, so it could take some time.
So could we ask that it come, if it's reviewed by the biologist, and could we get it this year at least, before the end of this year?
I can't promise that.
Okay. All right. So we'll ask for the earliest opportunity we'd like it brought back. Okay. All right. And we have a request to take a break, so we'll break for 10 minutes.
All right. I'll call us back into order and go to staff.
That brings us to item 11A, which is an application in North San Mateo County Sanitation District in Daly City, and there's a couple slides just to show. We are in agreement with the applicant who's here today if there are questions, but this is a permit to do some repair and maintenance, and it basically wraps up a number of episodes of work that have happened over the last 10 years or so on an outfall in Daly City. You can see the project area here is where there's an outfall for the San Mateo County Sanitation District. Next slide. This is just south of San Francisco. And here's a coastal records view of the area of the project. You can see the main outfall structure down here on the beach. This is a structure from the San Francisco PUC facility adjacent, which is not at issue today. And then there's some small appearance of the structure, which is internal to the bluff here, where the drain, the pipe structure drops down to the outfall. Next slide. This is another view of it, and I thought this was useful just so you can see, given these tide and beach conditions, you can see the surfacing of part of the outfall here. And one of our concerns with structures like this, of course, is public access and impacts when you have these kinds of outfalls on the beach, as well as the visual impacts. Next slide, please. So the proposed development is a repair and maintenance of various sorts, and you can't read these, but it summarizes the work that's happened over the years, including under emergency permits recently this year, to address various deteriorations and erosion issues around the outfall. Next slide. This was the emergency issue that we dealt with in the spring, and that included leaks in the main outfall line going out here that had to be repaired. Here you see a photo of one of those holes that had formed, and so there was a need to take response in order to avoid adverse spill of effluent into the beach and ocean environment. Next slide. These are some shots showing you some of the erosion that's occurred, and you can see how the bluff has been retreating back around the structure, and so some of the repair and maintenance is proposed to regrout and re-concrete these areas in order to provide better support for the structure. Next slide. That's it. So I just wanted to show you those slides to show you the nature of the project, and we have conditioned the permit, we think, appropriately to deal with various impacts of construction and future potential repair and maintenance. It's a 5-year authorization with a potential extension for another 5 years. But we are, we've been talking with the district and the applicant about the long-range goals of trying to look for alternatives that would help us get structures like this off the beach ultimately, or deal with them in a way that wouldn't have the same kind of impacts to access and visual resources. So I can go into more detail on the conditions if you'd like, but that concludes the staff presentation.
Thank you, staff. Let me first go to the commissioners for ex parte communications, starting on my left. Anyone? Any on the right? Esther, do you have your light on? No. Okay. All right. No ex parte communications. Then we have one speaker slip. We'll open the public hearing. Patrick Sweetland.
Good morning, Honorable Commissioners. I'm Patrick Sweetland. I'm the Director of Daly City's Department of Water and Wastewater Resources. I have no formal comments to make. We are in support of the staff's recommended actions, both on the special conditions as well as the general permit associated with the work. And I'm here this morning to answer any specific questions the commission may have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Then we'll bring it back to staff. Anything else from the staff?
Nothing further.
All right. We have two commissioners that wish to address this issue. Commissioner Sanchez is first.
I move that the commission approve the coastal permit number 2-00-026, subject to conditions pursuant to the staff recommendations, and recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez, a second by Commissioner Secord. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as conditioned and adoptions of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion?
I think staff did a great job. Thank
All
you.
Right. Commissioner Secord? All right.
Thank you, through the chair to staff. I just need a little clarification on this, please. In the documents that are before us, it gives a wide berth of an area that speaks to both Daly City and northern San Mateo County. And then it also implicates into San Francisco, Fort Funston and GGNRA territory within San Francisco. Are we talking about exactly the same emergency permit work that the city and county of San Francisco has also petitioned the commission for because of erosion in the frontage area?
No, that's a separate emergency permit, but further up coast.
Right, but in the description of the documents here, it says Fort Funston.
I'm not sure what that description is referencing other than the geographic location.
It says project location below the western boundary of Fort Funston and Golden Gate National Recreation Area near the San Francisco, San Mateo County line, City and County, San Francisco. Because we have in the City and County, San Francisco, some significant unresolved issues about.
I think if the slide.
Sir, could you state your name for the
Patrick
record, please?
Patrick Sweetland with the City of Daly City. If we could go back to the slide facing from the ocean to the bluff, if we can get that back up, please. I believe that Commissioner Marichimi is speaking to the San Francisco outfall structure, which is to the left.
Right.
To the right is the Vista Grande outfall structure, and that's an asset of the North San Mateo County Sanitation District, which is a subsidiary to the City of Daly City. So the work that we are proposing under this permit is both wrapping up some emergency work that has taken place over the past 5 years, as well as an emergency work with regard to the force main structure that's now exposed from the bluff that goes on to the structure itself. It might be helpful that this is actually not to overly correct staff. This is in San Francisco County. It's north of the San Mateo County line in San Francisco, beneath Fort Funston, in the GGNRA area.
Okay, so thank you. That is not what this says in the document, so I want to be clear about this. We're talking within San Francisco County. Correct?
It's correct. We are. It is north of San Mateo County in San Francisco County.
That is not what the document says. So I want us to be very clear about this, that we are having internal meetings within San Francisco City County, the Department of Public Works, our Municipal Transportation Authority, a number of agencies right now because of concerns and questions about how some of the repairs on their short term versus what our long term sustainable plan is going to be. And I'm concerned that this short term work actually might implicate the long term discussions that we're having right now. And that's why I want to get specificity on this. Are we talking about an area south of Fort Funston? And if we are, we're moving into San Mateo County. But if it is implicating Fort Funston a little bit north at the PUC outfall, sewer outfall, that's our ground, and we may not be prepared to move this. So I just wonder if you'd like to speak to that, to the Dr. Lester.
Yes, I see the reference you are highlighting now in the emergency permit. It says San Mateo County.
Right.
The permit does identify it as being in San Francisco County, but you're right. This is Fort Funston here, and this is the San Francisco PUC outfall immediately up coast. Nothing about this permit implicates this structure here today. We're only talking about repair and maintenance proposed for the Daly City outfall, and we've tried to structure the conditions in a way that acknowledges that this is a repair and maintenance and authorizes further repair and maintenance for 5 years and potentially extending that, but also basically puts everyone on notice that we're looking for long-term solutions as well beyond that repair and maintenance phase, where we would maybe see some revisions that would get these structures moved back into the bluff more, or minimizing the impacts more on public access and visual resources. But that doesn't necessarily say anything about the other structure for the city of San Francisco.
Good. I just don't want the phrasing and the framing of what's in the report before us to confuse two very specific items, but the way that it is articulated within the documents, there is a bleeding potentially of boundaries that I want to make sure are seen as separate. You have my support most definitely in what is before us in terms of the correction and triage of what's needed here for that particular area, but it is an unfinished discussion and not one that we should pursue today on the question of a further north, Fort Funston, moving north on the ongoing emergency permits at Ocean Beach that implicate GGNRA. That is not part of this. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So as long as we're reading that into the record. But as we see the way it's written, it could be mistaken for that, and I want to make sure that that is not the case.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Juan?
Given what Commissioner Mercurimi has said, is there a way for you to revise the description in the and the language in the staff report so that it's actually accurate and reflects what he was discussing?
We can review the language and make sure that it reflects the issue accurately.
In I'm sorry, may I?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the issue on the SF, the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission, on the sewer outfall, we're literally having discussions about this in terms of where there is a recession so that the pipe and the flow is now exposed. The question is, do we just continue to pour sand so that the receding stops from any erosion, or actually we're having a discussion about potentially removing the whole pipe, which is obviously a capitally intensive endeavor, not something we want to do, but that is what is now being discussed within the city. Just so you know.
Right. I don't think there's any conflict between our respective agencies with regard to both this structure and ongoing discussions we've had with drainage basins within that portion of our respective joint area. So this is this from our perspective, quite consistent with the discussions we've been having with the PUC staff.
Okay, good. So as long as the documents and staff reports reflect, I think, those boundaries, I think that's fine.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any other comments from commissioners? We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez, a second by Commissioner Secor. The maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves a coastal development permit for the proposed development.
So the next item is item 11.5A, which are revised findings for the Sterling application, which the commission acted on last month. And the revised findings basically reflect the one major change made by the commission, which was to delete the recommended special condition 2A8 that provided for potential subdivision of the area in the Sterling application in the future. Overall, the commission found that the single-family residence on the land zoned for agriculture was consistent, given that it proposed continued agricultural use and a deed restriction. Additional special conditions were included in those findings that were adopted. And then with respect to the potential subdivision of the property, as you recall, the commission was concerned about the resource constraints on the property as well as other potential significant adverse cumulative impacts on agriculture in San Mateo County. And so without ruling out a future application to subdivide the property potential, the commission was concerned that that provision that specifically mentioned the possibility of subdivision could be interpreted as an affirmative position by the commission that future subdivision was consistent with the LCP. Therefore, the commission deleted that condition in favor of being silent on that specific question. The permittee or landowner remains free to apply for a subdivision or other permit amendment at any time, notwithstanding the commission's action. So a yes vote by a majority of the commissions on the prevailing side is necessary to approve these findings, and the motion to adopt the revised findings is on page 4. The commissioners on the prevailing side included Commissioner Shajian, Blank, Bloom, Burke, Secord, Lieberman, Mirkarimi, Sanchez, Stone, Juan, and Schallenberger.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me first ask if there are any ex parte communications starting on my left. Seeing none, bring it back to the commission. We have no speaker slips on this item. Commissioner Blank?
Yes, Madam Chair. I appreciate staff taking out the item which explicitly allowed, in fact, it was condition 2, which allowed the applicant to come back. Yet somehow we ended up typing a little more than we should have on the top of page 57, because even though we took that out as a condition, we now put it back in revised findings. So I'm a little confused why, when we took that out as condition 2, at the top of page 57 now says the permittee or landowner, however, remains free to apply for a subdivision or other permit at any time. We removed that as a condition, and so now we moved it to revised findings. I request we remove the entire paragraph on the top of page 57 and see if I could get some support from my fellow commissioners to do that.
Okay.
If I may just address
sure, go
that.
Go ahead. So let's have staff first.
That was staff's interpretation of the commission's expression of the idea that they, even though we did not want to be affirmatively inviting subdivision, deleting that provision wouldn't preclude them from applying.
But I guess, Dr. Lester, through the chair, I'm just a little surprised. That is a possibility for any applicant in any place, and we don't put that in every possible document in every place. So the will of the commission, as I understood it at the time, was to remove any affirmative, you know, possibility that an applicant could point to the commission's affirmative, you know, saying, go ahead and reapply. While the law is pretty clear, they could do what they want. They need to use the current LCP to do that. I don't see why we want to have an applicant who have told us that they are going to be litigating this to point to a section of our document that says, hey, you said we should, there it is. I think the law is pretty clear, the LCP is pretty clear, and my intent, at least voting on it last time, was to remove any affirmative commission statement that said so. I'm not suggesting we change the law or the Coastal Act or anything else. Period. Thank you.
All right. Council?
Yes, to your point, Commissioner Blank, I believe that what was put in there was a paraphrase of what was stated on the mic by the maker of the motion in an exchange with Dr. Lester, so that was why it was put in there. If the commission did not intend to make that part of its findings, that should be, then making
you.
It clear on the record is appropriate.
Great, thank you.
I would just add, too, that it is, you're right, it is the law that anybody could apply, and so it's merely a statement of what is already the case.
All right. Great. Thank you. Commissioner Juan?
Yeah, I would agree with...
You need this one.
I would agree with Commissioner Blank on that. I mean, there was a statement made, but it was just really a statement about what the law was. And so I think we need to be very careful here about what the actual language is in here. I have a concern about another sentence, which is at the bottom of page 56, and it's in the same discussion. It says, further, the commission does not wish to take an affirmative position on any future subdivision proposal at this time. I realize that probably comes from my comment, but I think it's kind of taken out of context, and I don't see the reason Do we really have a need to have that statement in here? We are basically removing it, and I think that's all we should be doing is simply removing it. Do we need to make that statement? Do you really feel that that's essential? Because it's kind of, well, I did somewhat say that, not quite in this way, but I did somewhat say that. I'm not sure it adds anything to this. If you think it's necessary, that's different, but I think you could leave the first part of that sentence out, or unless you really think it's a good idea.
We did discuss this extensively, the language that was added to this. If the commission would like a further discussion of this, I would recommend we do that in closed session.
Yeah, this may be important enough for us to go into closed session.
So then, staff, should we trail this item until we have closed session, and then we'll bring it back and... All right.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
Is that all right with the commissioners? Anyone else want to comment before? Okay, we'll go ahead and trail
thank
this
you.
Then. All right, thank you. Thanks, staff.
Okay, so there is no enforcement report this month, item 12, and so that would bring us to item 13. The Deputy Director's report for Central Coast District, and there are a number of minor items, 3 immaterial extensions, 1 immaterial amendment, and 2 waivers to report, and I'm not aware of any opposition or objections to those minor items.
All right. Any objections? Seeing none, the Commission concurs.
And also, no consent calendar items for Central Coast. So item 15, 15A is a minor amendment for the City of Grover Beach, an amendment to their LCP program concerning permitting procedures. And this would be an implementation plan amendment to eliminate the requirement for a general development plan in certain zoning districts, and also to make changes to use permit requirements for various uses in the commercial districts. Exhibit A has the complete resolution and the proposed changes and cross through and underline. We are recommending that the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination that this is a minor LCP amendment, which includes, among other things, changes in wording which make the use as designated in the zoning district maps or other actions more specific and which do not change the kind, location, intensity, or density of use. And that's what we believe is the case here. And so we are recommending that the Commission concur with this determination.
Okay. Let me check to see if there are any ex parte communications starting on my left. I see none. Any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the Commission concurs.
Now, item 16A is a notice of impending development for the University of California at Santa Cruz Marine Science Campus out at Terrace Point in the city of Santa Cruz. This is the third notice or NOID that we have received following on the Commission's certification of the LRDP for that site in January of 2009. We're very pleased to see this particular notice come forward. This is to notice the phase one of the required restoration of the resource management plan that was part of that LRDP that the Commission approved. And so under this notice, the university would be proceeding with that phase one consisting of removal of invasive non-native plants and hand planting to about 16 acres of the site, and that's about one-third of the site. The LRDP envisions restoration, phased restoration over 3 7-year periods, so this would be the first period for that. There is an exhibit. The last page of the staff report gives you an idea of the areas that will be subject to restoration. And we've reviewed the notice and the proposed development. We believe it's fully consistent with the LRDP, so there are no recommended conditions at this time.
All right, thank you. We have one speaker slip from Cage Dayton here to answer questions. So with that, let me check to see if there are any ex partes starting on my left. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the Commission. The motion's on page 2. Commissioner Stone?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission determine that the development described in UCSC Notice of Impending Development number 3 is consistent with the certified University of California at Santa Cruz Coastal Long-Range Development Plan and urge a yes vote.
Sir.
All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Stone, a second by Commissioner Mercurimi. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in a determination that the development described in the U.S. UCSC NOID 3 is consistent with the certified UCSC CLRDP. All right. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby determines that the development described is consistent with the University of California Santa Cruz Coastal Long Range Development Plan. Thank you.
Okay, that brings us moving south to the South Central Deputy Director's report. And item 17 is the District Director's report for the list of waivers, immaterial amendments, and immaterial extensions for the district. And again, we're not aware of any opposition to these items, and we recommend that the Commission concur with the ED's determination on these matters.
All right. Any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the Commission concurs.
Item 18, there is one item that we recommended earlier today be moved to the consent calendar. That was 21A, the Borsten application. And we are in agreement with the applicant and are not aware of any opposition to the item.
All right, thank you. Any ex partes on the consent calendar item? Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the commission? We have a motion by
second.
Commissioner Secord, second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on the consent calendar item? Seeing none, the item is approved.
And item 19A is an LCP amendment time extension for the City of Malibu, LCP Amendment 1-10, which would amend the implementation plan to add new definitions for categories of slopes and amend site plan review. The amendment also modifies Table B of the implementation plan to allow lighting of main sports fields at public high schools in the institutional zone pursuant to a conditional use permit. And we are not able to review this amendment within the required 60-day time limit, so we are recommending that the time be extended for up to 1 year. And the motion is on the bottom of page one.
All right. We have any ex partes on this item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission. There are no speaker slips. Commissioner Sanchez?
I move that the commission extend the 60-day time limit to act on the City of Malibu LCP amendment number MAJ-1-10 for 1 year and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez and a second by Commissioner Kruer. They're recommending a yes vote. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the time extension is approved.
So brings us to item 20A, which is another notice of impending development for UC Santa Barbara. And in this notice, the university is requesting approval of development for the construction of public access improvements and habitat restoration at Coal Oil Point Reserve on the west side of the UCSB campus. The project includes the installation of 910 linear feet of wildlife permeable fencing, 60 linear feet of rollout boardwalk, removal of 200 cubic yards of fill material, improvements to the existing pond trail, and revegetation of unauthorized volunteer trails at the reserve. The proposed project is consistent with the certified LRDP, and staff is recommending approval of the notice subject to three special conditions that are outlined in the staff report. We're not aware of any opposition to the project or the staff recommendation. There is also an addendum in your packet that makes two minor corrections to the monitoring condition of special condition 3. And the motion for approval of the notice can be found on page 3 of the staff report.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me check to see if there are any ex parte communications starting on my left. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. We have no speaker slips on this item.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Secord.
I move that the commission determine that the development described in the Notice of Impending Development 1-10 Coal Oil Point Reserve Access Plan project is conditioned, is consistent with the University of California and Santa Barbara Long Range Development Plan. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Secord, a second by Commissioner Sanchez. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in a determination that the development described in the notice is consistent with the certified University of California at Santa Barbara Long Range Development Plan. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, Madam Chair.
Mr. Sanchez? All right. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the item is approved.
And item 21A was approved on the consent calendar. So that brings us to item 22, moving further south, the South Coast District Deputy Director's report. Both the Los Angeles and Orange County items are reported in this particular deputy director's report, and again, I'm not aware of any opposition to these items.
Okay, any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And there are no consent calendar items for the South Coast, which brings us to item 24. 24A is a City of Long Beach LCP amendment time extension, and again, we are requesting that the time for review of this LCP amendment be extended for up to 1 year in order to give us adequate time to do the review. This amendment concerns both land use plan and implementation ordinances of the LCP to subdivide sub-area 1 of the downtown shoreline plan development district into two sub-areas, expand the list of allowable uses, and adopt development standards for this area, including a 500-foot height limit, and incorporate the Golden Shore Master Plan into the certified LCP. So the motion to extend the time can be found at the bottom of page 1.
All right. Thank you, staff. Any ex partes on this item? Seeing none, what's the pleasure of the commission?
Move the extension.
All right. We have a motion by Commissioner Schallenberger. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Kruer. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the time extension is granted.
Item 25, A, B, and C will be presented in one combined staff presentation.
All right, and we have no speaker slips on these items.
Okay, so these are the revised findings for the three coastal development permits to establish two overnight parking districts in the Venice area of the City of Los Angeles. There are two permits for the parking district located in the dual permit jurisdiction and one permit in the single permit jurisdiction. The applicant is the City of Los Angeles. The commission, as you recall, denied the permit applications on the basis that the parking districts were not in conformity with the public access policies of the Coastal Act, as these districts would exclude the general public from parking on the public streets during the early morning hours. In addition, these districts would effectively provide the private residents with parking permits preferential access to public parking spaces near the coast. Finally, the commission found that there are feasible alternatives that would accomplish the same goals as the parking districts that would not adversely impact public access to the coast. And staff believes that the revised findings accurately reflect the commission's action on the permit applications and recommends that the commission adopt these revised findings. The addendum packet that you have includes two minor clarifications to the findings and four letters supporting the revised findings, one letter opposing the revised findings. And we have also received a late letter from the city attorney objecting to these revised findings, and I believe the chief counsel would like to speak briefly to that letter.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Dr. Lester. Thank you, Madam Chair. The letter we received from the city attorney of L.A. claims that there are no laws, administrative regulations, or internal guidelines that authorize the commission to adopt findings. It also claims that there's no authorization for findings adopted more than 60 days or prohibitions against dissenting commissioners voting on findings, that findings are no more than a post hoc rationalization. None of these statements are accurate. Public Resources Code Section 30315.1 specifies that only commissioners on the prevailing side vote on findings. Our regulations at Section 13096 provides more details about the revised findings process for permits. Neither the statutes nor the reg establish a deadline about the adoption of permit findings, but in contrast, the Coastal Act does require findings for LCPs to be adopted within 60 days of the commission action. So the fact that no deadline is established for permits indicates that the legislature didn't intend to establish a specific deadline for permit findings, whereas it did for LCP findings. The letter also claims that this is a post hoc rationalization. We actually have a Court of Appeals case on this item, on that point, in La Costa Beach Homeowners Association. The Court of Appeal upheld revised findings and rejected arguments that they were post hoc rationalizations. We feel this affirms our process for this. The City of LA is also claiming that the staff didn't negotiate in good faith with them in preparing the staff report that was heard in June. This is, of course, a matter that the commission is in a position to judge whether the staff came back with a recommendation that it had authorized coming out of closed session when the commission announced that it had approved a proposed settlement in closed session. The third point it makes is that it's claiming that overnight parking districts can't be development. That, of course, is a difference of opinion the commission has on a legal basis with the commission, and the commission adopts that position by adopting the revised findings. And finally, they state that the findings don't accurately reflect what occurred, but they don't seem to point out anything specific that doesn't accurately reflect that. But again, that's the commission's discretion to determine that. Commissioners are, however, allowed to make personal observations in the record, which is something else that they allege was not proper.
And just to wrap up, the commissioners on the prevailing side in this case, eligible to vote, are Commissioners Mercurimi, Sanchez, Schallenberger, Stone, Juan, and Chair Neely. And there are three motions required for approval here. The two motions for approval on the first two items are on item 25A on page 3 of the staff report, and then one motion for approval on 25C, which is also on page 3. That concludes the staff presentation.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me check for ex partes on items 25A, B, and C. Okay. Seeing none, there are no speakers on these items. Commissioner Sanchez?
I move that the commission adopt the revised findings proposed by staff in support of the commission's action on June 10, 2010, denying coastal development permit application 5-08-313 and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez, a second by Commissioner Mercurimi, the maker and seconder, are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motions will result in adoption of the revised findings. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Mercurimi?
No, ma'am.
All right. Can we have a show of hand of those eligible on the prevailing side?
6-0 unanimous.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Sanchez.
I move that the commission adopt the revised findings proposed by staff in support of the commission's action on June 10, 2010, denying coastal development permit application A-5-VEN-08-343 and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
All right. Motion and a second made by Commissioner Sanchez, second by Commissioner Mercurimi. They're also recommending a yes vote on this item. Passage of the motion will result in adoption of the revised findings. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Mercurimi?
No, thank you.
All right. Can we have a show of hands of those eligible?
6-0, unanimous.
And item 25C. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. I move that the commission adopt the revised findings proposed by staff in support of the commission's action on June 10, 2010, denying coastal development permit application A-5-VEN-08-344 and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
All right. Motion by Commissioner Sanchez, second by Commissioner Mercurimi. Maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Would you like to speak to this motion?
No, thank you.
All right, Commissioner Mercurimi.
Just one comment. I want to compliment our chief counsel and counsel in, I think, that analysis and speaking to the city of Los Angeles and their city attorney's office. I thought your comments were spot on, and I thought your analysis held to our defense accurately.
All right, excellent. Any objection to unanimous? Oh, no, this is a show of hands once again. A show of hands of those eligible?
6-0, unanimous.
All right. And the findings have been approved. Thank you. South Coast?
So, item 26 is the Deputy Director's report for South Coast Orange County has already been previously reported under item 22. There was an emergency permit reported in there, which I can speak to if there are questions about that particular item. Item 27, there are no items removed from the consent calendar for Orange County. So that brings us to item 28, which is a City of Newport Beach LCP amendment time extension. And this is a request to extend the 90-day time limit for commission action on the LCP amendment to amend the land use plan to change the land use designation on a 6-lot site containing privately owned tennis courts from public recreation to single-unit residential detached. And again, staff needs additional time to complete this review. Therefore, we're requesting that the time be extended for up to 1 year. And the motion is at the bottom of page 1.
Okay, thank you. Any ex parte communications on item 28A? Commissioner Juan?
Oh, 28. I'm on the
Okay. All right. Anyone else? No? All right. Commissioner Sanchez?
I move that the Commission extend the 90-day time limit to act on the City of Newport Beach Local Coastal Program Amendment, NPB-1-10, for a period of 1 year, and recommend a yes vote.
Right. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the time extension is approved.
That brings us to item 29A, and there is a short PowerPoint presentation for this. It's just a substantial issue only hearing, and staff is recommending that a substantial issue is raised. But briefly, this concerns the Laguna Terrace Mobile Home Park subdivision that was recently heard by this commission in dispute resolution hearing a couple of months ago, located on South Coast Highway in Laguna Beach in Orange County. And next slide, please. This is an aerial view of the property in question. It's a little hard to make out the lines in this particular slide, but here's the area of the Laguna Terrace Mobile Home Park. And then, as you recall, staff is of the opinion, and the commission has found this to be the case, that this is part of the larger 270-acre property that is potentially being subdivided here. And so staff is recommending that there's a substantial issue raised by the proposed subdivision, which would result in 157 residential lots in this yellow area, as well as one lot for a common area and one remainder lot, which would be the vast majority of this area in the hills. This was subject to two dispute resolutions previously addressing the appealability of the city's action to approve this subdivision. In both cases, the commission upheld the executive director determination that the city's action is appealable. The commission has also found substantial issue on a previous appeal for a similar tract map in this case, which is being replaced by this particular action of the city. As I mentioned, the site, if you could go to the next slide, please, is 270 acres overall, and that includes all of the purple here, purple shading, configured in kind of an upside-down U with the mobile home park area in yellow, where most of the residential lots would be created. This mobile home park area occupies about 14 acres at the mouth of Hobo Canyon, and the remainder of the 270-acre area is undeveloped, but it does contain steep hills, a prominent ridge line with a mosaic of vegetation types, including southern maritime chaparral, ceanothus chaparral, Toyon sumac chaparral, and coastal sage scrub. It's also contiguous with Aliso Creek and Aliso and Wood Canyons Regional Park. You may recall that we're looking at this whole 270-acre area because in its current configuration, prior to two unpermitted lot line adjustments that the city recorded in 1995, but in our view, the city's action would have the effect of separating this larger area, and the issues raised on appeal are numerous and include concerns about no analysis of the proposed land division on the surrounding ESHA, public access, or water quality, and that geologic or fire hazards associated with establishing building lots in this area are not addressed as well. So in addition to these issues, the proposed subdivision would have the effect of making the development in the mobile home park more permanent and reduce or foreclose options to relocate homes from hazardous areas. So there are a number of issues that are detailed in the staff report that are raised in the appeals, many of which raise a substantial issue. Some of them we do not have sufficient information in order to conclude whether there's a substantial issue, but there are ESHA issues, public access issues, water quality issues, and hazard issues that we believe deserve a de novo review. So unless three or more commissioners would like to discuss a substantial issue, the commission would have found substantial issue and the hearing would have been opened and continued to a later date for de novo review.
All right. Council, did you have a comment?
Yes, thank you. I wanted to let the commission know that Laguna Terrace Park went into court yesterday on an ex parte basis to request a TRO to prevent the commission from holding this hearing today. That TRO was denied, and so the commission is free to continue with its hearing, but I wanted to let the commission know the status of that.
All right. Thank you for that update. Let me see if there are any ex parte communications from commissioners on item 29A. Commissioner Stone?
Thank Thank you, Madam Chair. I met with Grant Wiesman and Margie K. of Orca on the 9th of this month at 1 o'clock in my offices. They asked that the Commission find substantial issue and ask staff to research how well the previous conditions that had been placed on the property had been met.
Right, thank you. Commissioner Schallenberger?
Yesterday at 4 o'clock, I had a... the day before at 4 o'clock, I had a phone call with Penny Aaliyah representing the Sierra Club, and she encouraged the commission to support the staff finding on to support the staff on finding substantial issue, and she emphasized it would be for the second time.
All right, thank you. I had an ex parte communication with Maggie Herbelin, the local ORCA representative, on September 13th at 10 a.m. at my office in Eureka, and she indicated that... they are asking the commission to support the staff's recommendation and allow a de novo hearing so all issues can be thoroughly addressed. Commissioner Wan?
Yes, again, this is another one of those I submitted in ex parte, but it doesn't appear in anything printed today, so I'm just going to, I'm going to make some comments, but I don't have my notes in front of me. So I spoke with Penny Aaliyah, called me on a week ago Monday, I don't know what that date was, and she discussed this, saying that she was in support of the staff recommendation for the finding of substantial issue. She discussed the issue of the storage shed and the fact that that was complicated, and that the fact that there was an emergency permit that where they filled in the stream, and that there was then an emergency permit that followed that, because having filled in the stream, they created flooding problems, and then they put a pipe in, and apparently then they got and staff does deal with this somewhat in the staff report. They put in a bigger pipe, claiming that they were simply replacing an existing pipe, but there had never been a permit for the existing pipe. And then she talked a little bit about the road, and I can't remember the name of the road now, but something about that one of the issues that wasn't covered in the staff report was apparently that road goes up to a parking lot for the Montage, and she was concerned about how that would impact if the commission didn't find substantial issue and we didn't look at that road issue, how that would impact the Montage's ability to meet their parking requirements. And then she said she had some concern about what would happen relative to the relocation of the lots that had been created without the benefit of permit. Okay, so those were the issues that she basically discussed and concerns.
Thank you. Commissioner Kruer?
Yes, Madam Chair. On September 8th, I had an email from Penny Aaliyah, and was attached to it was an aerial exhibit of the Hobo Canyon or Hobo Ridge and Laguna Terrace Park of an aerial of the whole thing, with a marking of 2008 that it was in the right upper corner, which I sent in to staff. Then on the 9th of September, the next day, I had a telephone voicemail from Penny Aaliyah around 3 p.m., and she had disturbing news that the city of Laguna Beach is doing an emergency nuisance abatement order for fuel modification for Hobo Ridge. In the city, there has been previous CDPs and conditions that have not been met. The ongoing use of police powers is to circumvent the Coastal Act, and she said if I had any questions after reading the staff report, please call. Then on September 9th in La Jolla, I had a telephone conference call with Gabrielle Somer, representing ORCA. Ms. Somer related the Sierra Club's Save Hobo Aliso Task Force support of staff's recommendations to find substantial issue on the appeal of the City of Laguna Beach's decision to grant a CDP to Laguna Terrace Park to subdivide the Laguna Terrace Mobile Home Park. The task force strongly supports the de novo hearing for the following reasons. The appeal arises from the ongoing attempt by the City of Laguna Beach to circumvent the Coastal Act and the Coastal Commission involvement jurisdiction, combined with the ongoing efforts of the mobile home park owner to continue their destruction of ESHA, endangered species, multiple city mapped watercourses, and the USGS mapped Blue Line Stream. The appeal raises issues of ESHA protection, endangered species, and watercourse, A de novo hearing will allow staff an opportunity to comprehensively address the decades of environmental destruction that has gone out on this subject property under the jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission. The application of the recent decision, August 21, 2010, Palisades Bowl Estates versus City of LA findings that the City Act, that the Coastal Act does apply to the mobile home park conversion within the coastal zone, and the locally authority must ensure compliance. And that was the extent of my ex partes.
Thank you. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I received an email from Dora Renteria that appeared to be from the hkclaw.com on behalf of HKC law firm. It was basically a cover, like a cover letter in the form of an email that asked me to see the attached September 10th, 2010 letter to Board of Commissioners, California Coastal Commission, regarding this matter. And what was attached was a copy of the letter that is indeed in our packet. I also received, I also met with Gabrielle Solmer and Elizabeth Taylor on September 9th at 11 a.m. in Solana Beach. The communication was the same communication as that which was described by Commissioner Kruer.
Thank
and
you.
I don't think anyone else can claim to have met and spoken with Elizabeth Taylor. Thank you.
Duly noted. Commissioner Blank?
Yes, Madam Chair. On September 13th, received an email from Lenny Roberts and Mike Ferrer of San Mateo Orca. And boy, if their comments weren't included in what Commissioner Kruer had to say, I'd be surprised. But they were substantively identical.
All right. Anyone else? Okay, then we'll bring it back to the commission. And let me ask at this time, do three or more commissioners object to the finding of substantial issue? Seeing none, substantial issue has been found. Oh, so, Commissioner Juan had a couple of comments before we move to the next item.
Yeah, I had a couple of things to sort of say that in the de novo hearing, I think it's really, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but it's really important to look at all of the violations both here and to some degree on the property adjacent to see what the relationship is in all of this. It's, again, I sort of mentioned this earlier, it's pretty complex. I also would like you to really take a close look at what happened relative to when they undergrounded the stream and put the storage shed in that area, because although we did give a permit for the, quote, replacement pipe, I'm not sure that, you know, when that was taken out, whether it was taken out legitimately, if it's basically, it's still in the ownership of the same family, and I don't know who the individuals are. I guess there's a lot of individuals in the, and I had sort of asked staff about this question. But it's basically under the same ownership, and if they took out a permit claiming it was a replacement of a pipe that they put in without a permit, then effectively they didn't tell the truth to the commission, or at least they withheld some information. And it would seem to me, if that's the case, that's a revocable permit, if that's what they did. So I think you need to be looking at that issue. I'm not saying that's what happened, because you need to thoroughly investigate it, but it is something to look at relative to that, because that's a pretty significant thing to have done and to have impacted. And the other thing is just sort of a comment that I want to make. This is the second or third time in a couple of in recent months where something has come to us on substantial issue where we have found substantial issue correctly, and I agree with that, but there are statements that says, well, we don't have enough information, so we can't make a determination about whether or not there's substantial issue on a particular basis. But it seems to me that if we don't have adequate information, that's a basis in and of itself for the finding of substantial issue. So I think we need to be careful about how we say that. I mean, if there are major issues with which we do not have adequate information, such as in this case, you know, zoning and illegal land use questions, then if we don't know, then that in and of itself rises to a level of substantial issue, because we need to know the answers to those questions.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Moving on to San Diego.
Okay. Finishing our trip south, San Diego Coast District Deputy Director's report is item 31. And there are a number of minor items, waivers and immaterial extensions, and I'm not aware of any objection to these items.
All right. Thank you. Any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And there are no consent calendar items for San Diego, so that brings us to the statewide items, which we could go through other than the closed session, if you'd like, at this time.
Sure. Let's go ahead and finish those up, and then I think we'll take the closed session before we break for lunch, if that's all right. Okay.
Okay, so item 33 is the approval of the minutes, which are included, should be included in your packet for the August hearing.
Do I have a motion for approval? It's been moved by Commissioner Mercurimi and seconded by Commissioners Secord. Any unwillingness for a unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, we'll deem them approved. Are there any commissioner reports? Yes, Commissioner Sanchez.
Thank you. On behalf of City of Oceanside, I've attended a couple of conferences having to do with the fact that our city was going through a hauler contract negotiations. And what I ended up doing is learning a whole lot about zero waste. And the last conference that I attended was the CRRA, the California Resource Recovery Association. And there was a whole lot of information that was provided that that prompted me to have placed on our agenda for our city a resolution adopting a zero waste policy with a goal of 75% diversion by 2020. This is actually pending legislation, and the impacts to our coast are just phenomenal, and I was wondering if that is something that we could pursue at some point, is supporting efforts by our legislature to go towards diversion resource recovery that will, in fact, save our coastal waters, because all of this stuff ends up in the ocean on our coast. So I'm enlightened. I've been enlightened this past year through just our city efforts. We directed our staff to develop an implementation plan and to come back to the city council within 6 months. May end up being a year, but certainly we're giving them, kind of urging them that we need to get this done, because we're very, very proud, I think, as a city, coastal city, of our efforts in terms of ensuring the resources, our coastal resources. So it's something that I've been working on, and I wanted to report to you that, number one, how much I've learned about what cities statewide are doing, what jurisdictions statewide are doing, and what we can do to continue to our efforts in preserving our coastal resources. Thank you.
Yes, through
thank
the
you.
Chair, that's an excellent idea, and we are very supportive of any legislation that would move us in that direction, including things like the plastic bag legislation that we took a position of support on and unfortunately didn't pan out yet. But
thank you. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Thank you. A few quick items, fellow commissioners. I'd like to echo the statements of Commissioner Sanchez. San Francisco City County had adopted several years ago a zero waste policy by 2020, and we are moving aggressively in that direction. And I just had the distinct pleasure of being invited by the country of Uruguay, which I just returned from, to talk about the work that we're doing here at the Coastal Commission, but also municipally what we're doing throughout the state of California and in San Francisco. I had informed them before the bag bill was to be voted on that it was my hope and anticipation that the state bag bill was going to be passed, since Governor Schwarzenegger had signaled his interest in making that happen. And needless to say, I was quite shocked, but maybe I shouldn't be, of how the petrochemical industry was able to get to legislators in order to stem that tide. So I would like to reinforce the notion that municipalities throughout the state of California need to step up to the plate if the state legislature can't compel that type of law that's meaningful in a meaningful bag ban, as well as other well-known detriments, I think, to marine life and to our coast, such as plastics in general. And then the third thing is, everybody should be aware that on October 9th, the Malibu World Surfing Reserve's dedication is taking place. And that is a resolution that we all passed in the recognition of there being a first dedicated World Surfing Reserve. Save the Waves and Surf Rider had been pushing this, and this body was the first, I believe, in the nation to help declare that that particular recognition be enacted. And that's taking place on October 9th in Malibu. And I'd be more than happy to share those dates. I'm hoping that I can come down from San Francisco to be there, because I think it's very important, and I think it will serve as a template potentially for other coastal areas in the country.
Yes, I've been invited to speak at that, but if you are able to get down, that'd be great.
They invited me to speak. It's just logistics.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Any other commission reports? Seeing none, then we'll go to a conservancy report. Do we have a report, conservancy report this time? Guess not.
I have the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy.
All right. I have nothing from the conservancy. Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy report?
Yes. At this last meeting, the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy Board approved the public works plan for the property in Malibu, and that plan is primarily in regards to public trails and camping in Malibu. And my understanding is that that public works plan has been submitted to the commission, and it will be coming to us. But the Conservancy Board did approve that this past month.
All right, thank you very much. Deputy Attorney General's report? Nothing? Okay, Executive Director?
Thank you. We have one item, 38A, the whale tail grants to put before the commission. In this item, we are requesting that the commission approve $330,500 for six coastal marine education projects. These projects are all related to Coastal Commission's special priorities or somehow involve the commission. And we are also requesting that the commissioners approve setting aside $30,000 reserve for future projects, and if the staff identifies a need for that, we would return to the commission for approval of that expenditure. If not, it would be added to the competitive grants budget. We are planning to return to the commissioners in February to deal with the competitive grant component. And then finally, we're requesting that if any of these funds end up not being needed by the designated grantees, that extra money can be added to the reserve or the competitive grants budget to be allocated by commissioners later on. The staff report goes into detail on those projects. If you'd like more information, I can provide that. Many of them are projects that we've funded in previous years, and so we're building on some of the work that's ongoing to deal with marine education and beach cleanup and things like that. So all of those grants, these grants are made possible, of course, by the Whale Tail Plate program and those drivers who decide to get that sort of a plate, which I think we all have.
Very good. All right. And we have no speaker slips on this item, so, pardon me? Yes, we do need a motion.
Okay, move approval.
We have a motion and a second to approve the allocations of the Whale Tail Fund. Would you like to address the motion, anyone? No? Okay, all those in favor Or is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote? Seeing none, the motion passes.
Finally, there is a legislative report which summarizes legislation for the year, and there are no recommended positions given that the legislative session has ended. So, but there is a summary there if you'd like to.
All right, thank you, staff. And then we have need for public comment for the item that was held over from this morning. And I don't have any other. There are no other speaker slips for public comment, are there? Mary?
Honorable Commissioners, Marcia Hanscom for the Wetlands Defense Fund. Again, this is an item that will be on your agenda next month related to Malibu Lagoon. And if you, after you view this and hopefully delve into the website and find out more information, you will probably see it sounds very different from your staff report. And I hope you will keep an open mind and look at the information as deeply as we have. Thank you.
Lagoon today because we are concerned about plans that would basically bulldoze this entire habitat and wipe out a lot of the species that are here and wipe out this beautiful, charming bridge we're even standing on.
Well, my name is Robert Roy Vanderhoek. I am a biologist, a wildlife biologist and marine biologist, and we're here at Malibu Lagoon. We're at a crossroads of great risk that will be the loss of endangered animals here and an ecosystem that's vibrant and full of life if we allow a dredging project to occur here with these bulldozers and engineers.
The genesis of this was to try and determine how we could clean up some of the problems at Surfrider Beach nearby.
And it was about having the water be clean coming down our stream to the ocean so that surfers and people enjoying the ocean would be healthy. And simultaneously, as a partnership in this, that wildlife and ecology was going to have just as much status as water quality.
We now have a project that will not help clean the water and instead will actually be a big problem for the ecology of this important wetland. So the happy ending for Wetlands Defense Fund here at Malibu Lagoon would be for the government agencies in charge of this plan to realize that they would get more for their dollar by having community-engaged restoration, simple restoration that would not involve all of this grading and bulldozing, and it would retain this charming walk path to the beach.
The optimal solution for the public and wildlife here at Malibu Lagoon is to do a genuine restoration and to not destroy a working ecosystem.
Do we have any other public comments? Okay, then I think we're going to go to closed session now. Is that correct, staff? And then we'll break for lunch. And then did you want to announce the rest of what the other things we'll be doing today?
Yes, as Mr. Merrill said, this morning we do have a field trip planned, and so probably the best thing, which we can reiterate when we come back from the closed session, is just to break for lunch and come back here at a specified time, and that would be an organized, hopefully organized carpool for that field trip.
All right. So at this time, then, we're going to a break for closed session, and I think it's going to be, and so we'd ask everyone to clear the room so we could have our closed session here. And then, how long is that going to take? Do we know? Half an hour? 20 minutes? About a half an hour? All right. So we won't be breaking for lunch until 1:30. And so it looks like we won't be getting to the field trip until, say, 2:30 or 3 o'clock. All right. For anybody watching that wants to accompany us on the field trip, we'll just make that aware. Let me also say that... we'll talk about that at the break. Thanks. Are we ready? Okay. The Coastal Commission is back in session. We're going to report out a closed session at this time, if we could get everybody to pay attention now. Council, could you report out a closed session, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Commission received legal advice in a matter of proposed litigation. The Commission also received legal advice in the matter of revised findings of appeal number A-2-SMC-07-001.
All right, thank you. And that's the only report. Staff, do you have anything else?
Whether or not we were going to take up the trailed item 11.5A, the Sterling revised findings.
Yes, let's do that now as well.
So I believe the commission was in the deliberation of those revised findings,
right,
which, as you recall, concerned the Sterling application and the deletion of a subpart of a subdivision of a condition restricting future use of the parcel.
Right. And Commissioner Blank, did you wish to propose a change there?
Yes, Madam Chair. I think it was the first sentence, Council, on page 57. I should probably be prefaced with something like, though I'd be happy with the concurrence of Council and the Commission if you craft it exactly, but it should say, in general, the Coastal Act and the LCP, and then the rest of the sentence to continue. Does that make sense in English?
Yes. So that sentence would state, under the Coastal Act and the LCP, the permittee or landowner remains free to apply for a subdivision or other permit amendment at any time.
Great. It even makes sense in legalese as well, I guess. Good.
All right. And so then that, with that, we have a motion to approve the findings and a second.
Second.
Okay. And then can we have a show of hands of those eligible?
Unanimous.
Okay. Of those eligible. Okay. Great. Thank you. Anything more before the commission? We're going to break for lunch now, try to get back here within about an hour, and then go on the tour.
Right. We'll rendezvous out front for the carpool.
All right. Great. Thank you very much.